How many people have ever heard of a guy named Boudreaux? Any Boudreaux fans out there? He's your stereotypical Cajun from Louisiana. Has anybody ever heard of Cajuns from Louisiana? Raise your hand. Okay. Well, one day, this guy named Boudreaux went into a pet store, and he saw this sign when he walked into the pet store. It said, "Talking Parrot." And to his he said, no way, this parrot could talk. So he went over to the talking parrot, and the parrot said this. He says, the parrot said, "You're the ugliest thing I've ever seen in my life." Well, Boudreaux got upset, so he went over to the store manager and said, "Your parrot just insulted me." So after Boudreaux walked out, the manager walked over to the parrot, slapped him up, ruffled a few feathers, and said, "Hey, don't ever talk to my customers like that again, okay?" Well, about a month later, Boudreaux came walking into the same store, that same very pet store, and as he was walking by, minding his own business, he heard the parrot said, "Hey." Boudreaux asked, "Are you talking to me?" The parrot said, "Yeah." Boudreaux said, "What?" The parrot said, "You know what." Some of you will get that tomorrow. How many people need an explanation there? Okay, well, we'll get to you at lunch, okay? You know what? Please don't look at your neighbor and say, "You know what," okay? That won't go very well, okay? Well, anyway, it's great to have you here this morning. I'm excited that you're here with us. Oh, somebody just got it. That's good. What I want to do today is I want to thank you for visiting with us. If you're visiting with us for the first time, it's great to have you. And I want to welcome each and every one of us to the church here this morning. We're on a journey as a church, and it's a journey that in my heart started about 3 weeks ago. And I believe this journey is going to continue over the next several months. And that is that we're on a journey that we want to help people realize this. And by the way, I hope you have your sermon notes. And we're on this journey that we believe that God is calling each and every one of us to be a world changer. Everybody say world changer. World changer. I don't know if you believe this, about yourself, but God wants each and every one of us to be a world changer. So we've been talking about that. And we're in a series right now called Back to the Basics, Back to the Basics. But what I want to do today is I realize we probably were going to have some visitors. I wanted to step out of the series. And what I want to do today is I want to share one of my favorite Bible stories from the Old Testament. So what we're going to do today is we're going to look at the Old Testament book of Joshua. So begin to look for the book of Joshua. It's the sixth book into the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. And what we're going to do today is we're going to read chapter 3. And if you don't have a Bible, there's a Bible available for you in the pew rack in front of you. If not, all the words are on the screen above me, so you can follow along that way also. But before we read the text this morning, what I want to do is I want to just catch you up to speed with what's going on in the story. And we need to look at chapter 1. And right away in chapter 1, we're introduced to the main character of the story, whose name is the name of the book. We're introduced to Joshua. And who's this Joshua? Joshua was the right-hand man for Moses, okay? But what happened is Moses died, and Joshua now is the next man up. He's the one that's going to take that place of leadership over the children of Israel. So he has really, really big shoes to fill. Then right away in verse 2, we see that Joshua is given his very first assignment. I mean, he's new, and God right away says, this is what's going to happen. And let's read it. It's in your notes. It's also on the screen. God says this to Joshua, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you." He's talking to Joshua. "The time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, and you're going to lead them across the Jordan River. You're going to lead them into the land that I'm giving you." So what we know right now is they're on the eastern side of the Jordan River. They want to make it over to the western side of the Jordan River, and they want to take this land that God has given them, okay? What land are they referring to? The land they're referring to is called the land of Canaan. Many of us know it. It's commonly referred to what? Anyone? You're right, the promised land. And by the way, this is the land that God had promised to their ancestor Abraham three different times. Then he made that same promise to Moses four different times. You're going to enter into this promised land, but there's this big hurdle that's in the way. And the big hurdle that's standing in the way from them going to the east side to the west side to enter into the promised land, the big hurdle is called the Jordan River. The Jordan River is in their way. Okay? So here's the big job. And this is a big job for Joshua. He's thinking, oh my. So here's a thought. Why did it take the people so long to enter into the promised land? Because you got to remember, they were rescued out of what? Egyptian captivity, where they were for 400 years. Now they're in this place called the wilderness, where they had been for 40 years. By the way, that should have been a journey that only took 11 days. So why were they in this holding place for so long? And the reason why is because they didn't believe God. They disbelieved. And as a result, they disobeyed God just because of their disobedience. Okay? And so what happened is they were never able to enter the promised land. Most of them never were able to enter the promised land. Okay? Many of the people died in the wilderness. But it was this younger generation made up of people probably about 30 years or younger that were able to enter into the promised land. So Joshua's given this assignment. Moses is dead. You're the next guy up. You're going to lead my people into the promised land. And I love it because God gives Joshua a promise that fits the assignment. The promise is on the screen. Joshua 1 verse 5. It says, no one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. How many people know that's a good promise? No one's going to be able to stand against you as long as you live. For I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you. I will not abandon you. So God gives Joshua this reassurance that, hey, I know the assignment's big, but I tell you what, I'm bigger. I'm bigger. And I'm going to be with you through this whole thing, okay? So what happens? Joshua gets confidence, and he goes and tells the people the report. The people get excited. They are 100% behind Joshua. They're ready for his leadership to take place, okay? Then chapter 2, we'll just say this real quick. What Joshua does is he has two spies go out into to Jericho, which is the first city beyond the Jordan River. And he says, hey, go spy out the land, see what's going on over there. They come back with this report. Hey, these people, we're going to be able to take them. They fear you. We're going to be able to get this done, okay? So that's what the setup is as we go into chapter 3. So get your Bible ready. But before we do this, I want to let you know I have a big idea that I want to communicate with you this morning. And I may say this different times in different ways, but here's the big idea. And by the way, this is in your notes. So if you have your notes with you, here's the big idea I want you to have by the end of the message today. So when you go home and somebody asks you, what did Mike talk about? You'll be able to say, yada, yada, yada. This is what it was all about, the big idea. Here's the big idea, and that is that we must do our part. And by the way, in parentheses, our part is obey. We must do our part before God will do his part, which is often blessings, provision, a mighty miracle, something crazy good. So I want you to hear that again. We got to do our part first before God's going to do his part. We got to obey on this side before we see God do some amazing things on that side, okay? So let's pick up the story and then we'll apply it and then we'll go eat and have a great time, okay? Everybody ready? Say, I'm ready. So Lord, be with us as we go forward. Give us ears to hear. Give us a heart that's receptive. And Lord, may we not miss this moment in time, a lesson that can really make a difference in our lives. So the Holy Spirit, I just ask that you'd be here in these moments, that I would say the things that you would want me to say. I pray that you would give people hearts that are open to receive. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pick it up. Chapter 3, Joshua. Early the next morning, Joshua and all the Israelites left Acacia Grove and arrived at the banks of the Jordan River, where they camped before crossing. 3 days later, the Israelite officers went through the camp, giving these instructions to the people. When you see the Levitical priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, move out from your positions and follow them. Verse 4, since you have never traveled this way before, I want everybody to see that. You have never traveled this way before. May I suggest there's places you've never been before that God wants to take you? Yay or nay? You've never traveled this way before. They will guide you. Stay about a half a mile behind them, keeping a clear distance between you and the ark. Make sure that you don't come any closer. Then Joshua told the people, purify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do great wonders among you. How many people would have had a hard time sleeping that night? I would have. I have a hard time sleeping as an adult on Christmas Eve, okay? And hey, God's going to do great things tomorrow. I don't know. I'm laying down in bed, but I'm not sleeping. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Verse 6. In the morning, Joshua said to the priests, lift up the Ark of the Covenant and lead the people across the river. And so they started out and went ahead of the people. Verse 7. The Lord told Joshua, today I will begin to make you a great leader in the eyes of all the Israelites. They will know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Give this command to the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant. When you reach the banks of the Jordan River, check it out, take a few steps into the river and stop there. Okay? So God's telling them, hey, you guys are going to have to get your feet wet. You're going to have to get your feet wet. Verse 9. So Joshua told the Israelites, come and listen to what the Lord your God says. Today you will know that the living God is among you. He will surely drive out the Canaanites, and then he's going to drive out these seven people groups. Okay? Verse 11. Look, the Ark of the Covenant, which belongs to the Lord of the whole earth, he's going to lead you across the Jordan River. Now choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. The priests will carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth. And check this out. As soon as their feet touch the water, as soon as their feet touch the water, the flow of water would be cut off upstream and the river will stand still like a wall. So I want you to visualize this. They're carrying the Ark of the Covenant. There's 12 priests, one from each tribe. So in the way I think of it, I see six on each side carrying the Ark on these poles. So there's guys, one, two, three, four, five, six. So six pairs of guys. How many people know that in order for all their feet to get wet, the guys up front have a bigger commitment? Who knows, by the time the guys in the back get their feet wet, who knows, the water may be waist deep, chest deep by then. Well, just a thought, okay? But as soon as you do that, a miracle is going to take place. God's going to do something incredible when you do that. Verse 14. So the people left the camp across the Jordan, and the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. It was the harvest season, and the Jordan was overflowing its banks. So I want to let you know, it's not just this little trickle. There's current. How many people like current? I'm a current guy, man. When I see a current flowing river, I get excited. But who knows? This current may have been so strong, it may have taken them down further. So there's current. There's water flowing. Okay? Verse 15, it was the harvest season. We just read that, so let's go to 16. But as soon as the feet of the priests who were carrying the ark touched the water at the river's edge, the water above that point began backing up a great distance away to a town called Adam. Shout out for Adam this morning, which is near Zarephath. And the water below that point flowed to the Dead Sea until the riverbank was dry. A miracle. Then the people crossed over. They went from the east to the west. They crossed over near the town of Jericho. That's a story in itself. Beautiful story. Verse 17. Meanwhile, the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Lord's Covenant stood on dry ground in the middle of the riverbed as the people passed by. I wonder if they were giving like high fives. Oh, this is awesome. They waited there until the whole nation of Israel had crossed the Jordan River. Everybody say these two words together. Dry ground. Dry ground. How many people think that's a pretty incredible story? That's one of my favorite Bible stories. And really, there's a lot of different observations this morning that I could point out to you that are definitely worthy of a good discussion. I mean, I thought about that, the Ark of the Covenant, what's that all about? That symbolizes what? The presence of the Lord. By the way, how many people know today we have the presence of the Lord in us, in the person of the Holy Spirit? Amen. And what does he do? He leads us. He guides us. We could have talked about that. That one verse I loved was, hey, they've never been that way before. We could have preached on that, because how many people know there's a lot of things we haven't been, a lot of places we haven't been yet in our walk with God. I will let you know, each one of us, myself included, big time, each one of us, there's places that God wants to take us that we've never been before, and we need somebody to lead us and guide us, that we could talk about that this morning. But there's one specific thing that I want to look at, and that is in this chapter, twice, verse 13 and verse 15, we read this: as soon as the feet of the priest touched the water, something supernatural occurred. So as soon as the feet of the priest got wet, something supernatural occurred, okay? When you're coming up here this morning, you know there's a bucket of water here, and some people are thinking, oh, they're going to have this massive foot-washing service. Don't worry. We wouldn't do that, especially on Visitor Sunday. But here's the cool thing. I got a little bucket of water here, and it says as soon as their feet got wet. Oh, no. It wasn't until their feet got wet. Oh, this feels so good. I should have brought a towel. But as soon as their feet got wet, God did something amazing. So I want you to look at your notes with us, with me. And I want us to go on a journey of questions and answers and observations. Two questions. Think back to the story. Question number one: why was it necessary for the feet of the priest to get wet before something supernatural would occur? Think about that for a minute. Let me give you about 5 seconds. Why was it necessary for the feet of the priest to get wet before something supernatural would occur? And the answer is this. You can fill in the blank. It was an issue of, everybody say, obedience. It was an issue of obedience. If you go back into the story and you look at verse 8, and it's on the screen, this is what God says to Joshua. He says, give this command to the priest who carry the Ark of the Covenant. Check it out. He says, give this command. And here's the command. When you reach the banks of the Jordan, take a few steps into the river and stop there. It goes back to the big idea, and that is that we must be willing to do our part, which is obedience, before God will often do his part, which is what we all love. We love the blessings. We love the provision. We love when God does something crazy good in our lives. But how many people know we can't get the wagon ahead of the horse? We can't get the wagon ahead of the horse. Oftentimes, it's going to start with good old-fashioned obedience. Obedience. Here's my observation, and that is that God's commands they don't often make sense. If you figure that one out as you're living for the Lord, they don't often make sense. They often go against human reasoning. I think of some of the commandments of the Lord that are in Scripture, and when I think about them, I'm thinking, oh, God, that's not how everybody else does it. And God says, well, that's the way I do it. And if you do it my way, you'll get my results. I want everybody to hear that. When we do it our way, we get our results. When we do it God's way, we get God's results. And a lot of times, God's commands don't often make sense. They go beyond human reasoning. I was reading or thinking this week as I was preparing, and I thought of some of those commands that God gives that don't make sense to me. For example, in Luke 6:37, Jesus says, forgive others, and you will be forgiven. I don't know about you, but I'm not often wanting to forgive other people who have hurt me. But you know what? If I want to receive forgiveness, I got to be willing to do what? Does everybody see that? I got to be willing to get my feet wet. Hopefully, by the way, I don't get shocked here and you'll see the end of me. I heard that happen to a pastor in a baptismal tank, and what a day that must have been. I didn't even think of that till now, so Lord be with us. Here's another thing God calls me to do, calls us to do as followers. Check out this one. Jesus says in Matthew 5:43, love your enemies. How many people have different ideas for your enemies? Lord, bless them with a brick. Get them, God. And then check this out at the rest of the verse. He says, and then on top of that, pray for those who persecute you. I want to let you know, if I want to receive the blessing, the provision of God, I got to take the first step. I got to get my feet wet. I got to be the one who takes the initiative to love my enemies. I got to be the one who takes the initiative to pray for those people who are persecuting me. Let me just share three other ones real quick. And this is probably the biggest challenge in my life, this one here. And that is, God calls us in the Ten Commandments. He says, hey, keep the Sabbath day. Meaning, hey, there should be a day every week when you step out of your work life and you set aside a day for me, where you honor me, where you reflect on me, where you come and just put everything aside and let me take care of you. I don't know about you, but I'm not often prone to get my feet wet on that one. But God says, hey, if you want my blessing, if you want my provision, you got to what? Obey. You got to honor the Sabbath day. You got to take that day of rest. Don't worry, Mike. I'll figure it out. Everything will get done. Anybody else struggle with that one, by the way? Okay, let me talk two other ones real quick. And here we go. We're really going to start stepping on toes here. Everybody ready? Oh, tithing. Oh, we had to go there, didn't we? You bet we had to go there. I mean, it doesn't make sense to me. Tithing doesn't make sense to me. In the natural realm, it goes against human reasoning. God, I got my paycheck on Friday, and God, you're calling me to give 10%, the first 10, by the way, not the remainders, but you're calling me to give the first 10 to you. You know what God's saying? He's saying, Mike, if you want my blessing, I'm getting old, you got to get your feet wet. I'm just saying. You know what I'm talking about? I'm just saying. But if I'm going to receive the blessing and the provision of the Lord, I got to be willing to say, Lord, it doesn't make sense to me, but I'll tell you what, after all these years, God is good, amen? And he is faithful. And then when we follow his commandment and we give, he opens the windows of the storehouse of blessing and he pours out blessings on our lives. Here's another one that really just, I'm starting to just kind of get a little angry right now. So forgive me, but I'm speaking in love because I love you. Everybody say, oh, I love you. I think this whole thing of prioritizing church is a big deal. I really do. I maybe because I grew up in church, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I think there's something to be said about prioritizing church. It was said of Jesus that he had a zeal for his Father's house. But here's another verse, Hebrews 10:25. Write this down, read it this week. The writer of Hebrews, writing to a bunch of Hebrew Christians that were struggling, ready to give up, he says, and let us not neglect our meeting together. So everybody got that? Let's not neglect this meeting together, as some people do. But check this out, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of the Lord is returning, drawing near. See, I used to think church was all about me coming, and I better get something good, man. That preacher better be good. The songs better be good. That's why I'm coming. It's all about me. It's all about me receiving. But how many times have we stopped to think? Look at that verse that says, let us come to encourage one another. You know what? Your attendance at church makes a difference. Your attendance at church is just not one directional. It's multi-directional. And you're supposed to be coming in here and we're encouraging one another. We're building one another up. We're saying, hey, keep fighting. And you have a lot to offer. I want to let you know there may be people who come into this church today and they may not get a single thing out of this message this morning, but they may sit at one of these tables afterwards and somebody may speak a word of encouragement to them. You may speak a word of encouragement to them. And guess what? That's going to be church for them. That's going to make the difference for them because you're engaged and you're encouraging one another. And I tell you what, when we prioritize God's house, it opens up his blessing. It opens up his provision, okay? So this human, this whole thing of obeying God, it goes against human reasoning. But I want to let you know, back to the big idea. If we want to receive God's blessing, we got to take the first step. And you'll see that throughout the scripture. I mean, it's there constantly, this whole big idea. We got to do our part first. And then God's waiting on the other side saying, hey, you were obedient. I can trust you with my blessings. I can trust you with my provision. But it doesn't start the other way around. It starts by us taking the initiative. Is everybody with me this morning? Say, you betcha. You betcha. A couple of you. That's awesome. Okay, question two. Think about this question. What do you think would have happened if the priests would have ignored God's command and refused to get their feet wet? What do you think would have happened if they would have said, oh God, that's silly. Why do we have to go into the Jordan River? Why do we have to get our feet wet? No, we're not going to do that. That just sounds stupid. What do you think would have happened if they would have ignored that commandment? Look at the answer. I believe that they would have missed out on a miracle. And they may have spent the rest of their lives where? On the eastern bank of the Jordan River. Please hear me this morning. You can be God's child. You can be a believer. I believe this with all my heart. But even as a believer, I believe you can be missing out on the fullness of what God has. Were these people still the children of Israel, God's chosen people? Yes. But it wasn't until they obeyed God that they experienced His blessing. Are you hearing me this morning? And they could have spent the rest of their life on the eastern banks. And I think that's where a lot of people spend their lives. Over there is God's promises. I can see them from afar. Over there, across the river, that's where God, Jericho, it starts there. God has some special things for us. But I believe there's a lot of people that that's where they spend their life. And the reason why is they refuse to take that step of obedience. They refuse to take that step where they get their feet wet. Because the rest of the culture is walking around with dry feet. They have their shoes on. They look cool. Everything's good. But it's the people that are willing to obey. It's the people that are willing to look silly at times and go against the human reasoning and against human understanding. The people that are willing to get their feet wet. Are you willing to get your feet wet? And when you do, that's when you begin to see God's promises fulfilled. That's when you begin to see your dreams become reality. And here we are. A lot of people are saying, God bless me. God bless me. I'm praying these prayers of blessing. God's saying, obey me. Obey me. And we need to get our feet wet. We need to get our feet wet in order to receive the blessings of God. I want to let you know, I believe without a doubt, God loves you completely. There's nothing you can do to gain more of God's blessing in your life. That has been resolved at the cross of Christ. When you accepted Him as your Savior, your Lord, His love for you, it's been settled. That's a settled deal. But when it comes to God's blessing in your life, it becomes an issue of your obedience. Your obedience. Are you willing to obey God? Are you willing to pick up your Bible throughout the week, read the Scripture? And when you see God asking you to do something, are you willing to say, God, yes, I will do what you call me to do. And as a result, God says, I can pour out my blessing on those people. Amen? And I want to let you know, God wants you to enter to the other side. And here's the observation. And that is, we often want God to go first. God, you go first. God, you go first. You bless me first. And God, after you show me the blessing, then I'll step out. I get a kick. I can't tell you how many people told me, if I ever win the lottery, you know where I'm going. If I ever win the lottery, man, I'm going to give the church $100,000. I'm like, no, you're not. If you're not willing to give what you have now and obey God now, why do you think you're going to be able to do that later? Are you hearing me this morning? Everybody say, harsh, ouch. But we want God to go first. But I think we have it backward. God wants to see us make the move. And what we need to do is we need to make this move and we need to obey God. And we must be willing to get our feet wet. And I want to let you just say this. If it seems like you're in a dry place in your walk with the Lord and it may seem like, God, you're not moving. I just don't sense that you're even moving in my life. Maybe it's because we're not moving. Maybe it's because we're not willing to obey. Maybe it's because we're not willing to get our feet wet. And God's saying, man, I want to do some crazy good things in your life. I want to do some things that would blow your mind. I want to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all you could ask, think, dream, or imagine. But we're just sitting there waiting for God, and God's saying, hello. I don't think he says it like that. Lovingly, he says, how would he say that? Come on. Come. Step out. Step into a life of obedience. Step out into a life of obedience. And as you step out into a life of obedience, you'll see what I have for you is good. It's wonderful. But we can miss out on those things often because we don't choose to obey. So here's my conclusion. Can you bow your heads this morning? I want this to be a private matter. Let me ask you a question. Is there any area of your life where you've been holding back? Is there an area of your life? Maybe it's forgiveness. Maybe it's praying for your enemies. Maybe it's even asking Jesus into your life to be your Savior, Lord of your life. Is there any area of your life where you're holding back? And could it be today is the day for you to say, God, I'm going to obey. And God, I'm going to obey even if it means getting my feet wet. So I want us to pray right now. Father, speak to us. Speak to us, Holy Spirit. Speak to us, Word of God. And is there any area of my life where I need to be willing to get my feet wet so that I can experience the fullness, the promise of what you have for me? Let the Lord speak to your heart this morning. As I was preparing this week, I thought, how are we going to close this message? And we're going to close bold and strong. Not wimpy and weak. We're going to close bold and strong. If there's anybody here today that you need to get up out of your chair, you need to take your shoes off, start taking them off right now. And you just need to symbolically say, this is the day where I'm willing to get my feet wet, where I'm willing to obey God and do what he tells me to do. Today's the day I just stop doing it my own way. And I stop depending on human reasoning. But today is the day I want to get my feet wet and obey God. If that's you right now, take your shoes off, stand to your feet. You can walk up here and get your feet wet too. And just move on. Is there anyone today? Take your shoes off. Let's go. Everybody head bowed. This is a moment with you and the Lord. Just what you're going to do is put both feet in the water and you'll just walk back to your seat. Lord, today I'm surrendering my will to your will. Lord, today I'm saying not my way, but your way. By the way, if you're visiting today, we don't do this every week. This is probably about as bold as we've ever been, but I just really think God's calling this church to greater boldness. I really do. I think God's calling us to just say, hey, are you willing to sell out for me? And when you do, you're going to see me arrive and do some amazing things in your life. Is there anyone else this morning? Don't hesitate. Father, I thank you for those people who have taken this step of faith and they're saying, God, I want to step into what you have for me. I want to obey. And they know that area in their life. It's the Holy Spirit, you pointed it out to them. I just pray, God, that they'll take it beyond this bucket of water today. Now they'll go and live it out. You folks, you've never been this way before. There's some things God wants, some places God wants to take you if you've never been before. And I tell you what, to get there, it's going to take obedience. To get there, it's going to take somebody leading you, but it's also going to, and it's going to be the Holy Spirit leading you, but it's also going to take you being obedient. Just step out and just say, Lord, that's me today. I'm ready. I'm in. I'm fully in. Amen.